Thank you all for coming this Sunday afternoon. We hope to discuss things that will, that you'll find topmost relevance in your life. Let us see what we can come up with today. We're speaking from Bhagavad Gita because someone who hopes to have real knowledge understands that as long as we are presenting knowledge that originates from our tiny minds and our imperfect senses, we'll never figure out what to do in life. And I know that all of you would like to figure out what to do in life. You can divide your vision about what to do in life into two categories. Things that are of immediate interest and things that are of your long-term interest. Just like this child, for example. The child doesn't know much of the long-term interest. He wants to play. You remember when you were that age, a little kid. You just wanted to play. You didn't think of what the future would be in your life. Certainly you didn't think of what your future would be in your next life. Now you're adults, and supposedly that means you're more capable of making a decision. I mean, supposedly you're more capable about getting a grip on your life, a vision of your whole life. And therefore you're supposed to make better decisions. That little boy who just ran out, you wouldn't expect that little boy to make a major decision about his life. No one here would accept that. Say, what does he know? He doesn't know anything of the world. He's just dependent on his parents. He just wants to play all the time. It would be very cruel to expect that little boy to make a major decision about his life. But what about us? What do we know that makes us so competent? What do we actually understand about ourselves that makes us so genuinely expert in the business of life? What knowledge can we say we have that separates us from the little kids? The first lesson taught by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is that an intelligent person never thinks he or she is the body. That little boy, he thinks he's the body. But if the adults think the same way, according to the Vedic standpoint, the adults have no reason to think they're more intelligent than a little kid. Yet all of society is pushing on you. Be the body. Enjoy the body. The body is everything. In this way, you only have an adult population in name only. You have adults, young adults, but actually they're like little children. The little boy, he wants to do what's immediately pleasing to him. He has no vision so much about how to delay his happiness. You remember when you were little kids. Remember, to wait until tomorrow seemed such a long time? What was the longest wait you remember as a little kid? I think I can remember. The day before my birthday. 24 hours, another day before I get all the presents. The day before Christmas seemed like eternity. Or when a weekend was coming and you know your parents are going to take you to an amusement park, seemed like forever waiting for those days to pass till the weekend. Now, how are the adults different? The adults can push off their gratification for a longer period of time. That's all. But how much longer? Most people today can't wait for more than a few years. University students will wait 3 or 4 years or so to finish. And that's considered like the topmost limit. To wait 10 years, inconceivable, 20 years? Everyone is trained very nicely to immediately gratify their senses. Whether you're young or old, that's the training. Therefore, everyone knows in New Zealand now that you can't tell young teenagers, wait until you're older before you experience this or that. Has anyone, any of you have your parents tell you that? Wait until you're older before you... Anyone? No, the parents don't even bother saying it anymore. That went out in, what, the 50s and 60s. Just wait until you're over 18. What do the kids think? If it's so good, why should we wait? Right? If it's so good, start when you're 12. And what can the parents say, right? What can you say? Yeah, that's it. That's the meaning of life. There's nothing else going on. We're doing it, so you might as well do it too. Okay. That's all parents can say these days. Just bring the guy, bring the girl home and live with him so we can see what's going on. No one can offer any intelligent reason why you should delay your sense gratification. Because everyone accepts that sense gratification is the goal of life. The adults accept it, so they can't figure out a good reason to tell their kids to delay. It'll affect your schoolwork. No. In fact, most people today think if you don't be hedonistic, your psychology becomes disturbed. No one understands anything about learning how to become the master of the senses and the mind. Suppose you applied for university in New Zealand, or anywhere, and you saw a course of study which would prepare you to be master of your mind and senses. Can you imagine going up to Victoria University? I'd like to enroll in your courses about controlling the mind and senses. He went to Christ Church, Canterbury, to Dunedin, Taylor. Yes. Where are your courses about how to be the master of the self? You find nothing. Because no one even knows what the self is. How can they master it? The result is that there's no difference between the adults and the young and the little children. The children play with their toys, and the adults play with more expensive toys. That's the difference. What do we owe this huge lack of knowledge to? People do not know where to get information that's beyond the range of the senses. You see, as long as we are bound up by knowledge from an imperfect source, then we're going to make imperfect decisions. We're not going to be able to see straight in our life. You can go through your whole life, the way you live, the conceptions that you have, and analyze, is this conception, is this idea, is this notion based on information from a limited, imperfect source, or is it not? Then you can see where the problems come. First of all, you think, I am this body. Well, who gave you that idea? Then we think, enjoying the body is the goal of life. Well, who gave us that idea? Then you think, well, this life is all that we have. Well, who gave that idea? Then we think, there's no good or bad. It's all up to you. It's all up to yourself. Who gave you that idea? Whatever you do, just have a good desire in your heart. And if you make a mistake, forgive yourself. Well, who gave you that idea? It's very interesting if we analyze our life in this way. Take all our conceptions, all our notions, all our presumptions, assumptions, and analyze their source. Where did I get this from? And you'll find, well, my mother taught me this, my school teacher taught me that, society taught me this. Then ask, where I'm getting this knowledge from, does that person have the ability to be beyond limitation and beyond mistake? In other words, am I getting this knowledge from someone with imperfect senses who is limited, or am I not? Then you'll see what's troubling life. Now, I understand that it's a little difficult for people to accept there can be such a thing as knowledge from a perfect source. It may seem to our jaded modern ears as fairy tales. Knowledge from an unlimited source, knowledge from someone who doesn't have imperfect senses, oh, that's impossible. You just have to do the best you can. Sort things out as best you can. Make a few mistakes. Learn from them. But what can we say this way or that way if we're tiny and limited? We don't know anything. How can we say that there's no possibility of knowledge from a perfect source? Therefore, I'd like you to at least consider the possibility that there is information for how to live in this world perfectly that comes along with the world. Just like when you buy some kind of appliance, a computer, or a tape, CD players, MP3 player, you want that there are instructions coming with it. You expect that. Otherwise, you'd be quite indignant at the manufacturer. But what about living in this world? Why don't we expect that there's an instruction book that comes along with it? Now you may say, well, I've never seen the instruction book. But maybe we haven't looked hard enough. We have to look deeper in the box and pull it out. So, we'd like to recommend to you Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Lord Krishna, as the best instruction book for human beings on this planet. Why the best? You may say, well, there's so many religions, and they all say their book is the best, their teacher is the best. Since they all say like that, we think the best thing is just to avoid the whole issue. Just get on with life. I wonder, those of you who have computers, haven't you gone to a bookshop and let's say you were trying to figure out how to use Microsoft Word or something, some software, and you weren't satisfied with the help files that came with the program? You wanted a book. So you went to the bookshop and you look on the shelf. Well, this one looks a little slim, this one looks a bit bigger, this one looks, too advanced, this one looks too simple. Haven't you done that? Yes. Even you might have wanted a book about knitting or crocheting or something. You checked out the different books before you purchased. You wanted something complete. So what I'm recommending is that you approach Bhagavad Gita in the same way. Rather than become artificially stymied that, oh, there's so many spiritual books. Well, if you go to a big bookshop, if you want to get a book about a particular software program, there could be 5 books there. You don't become frustrated. Oh, 5 books about Microsoft Word. Oh, I just give up. I'm not buying anything. How many of you done like that? What do you do in that situation? You want to learn accounting or something. You just look through all the books and you're looking for what is the most comprehensive. What has the most information expressed in a way that you can digest it. You don't get frustrated. Forget books. But why is it that we do that when it comes to spiritual information? Why don't we also exercise our discrimination? That's all Lord Krishna is asking for in Bhagavad Gita. Give Krishna a fair go. That's all. Read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end and see if you have found anything else that compares. You'd be shocked. Most people can't do that. I just don't have time. Looks too big. It'll cut down on my TV time if I try to read this. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that He is the source of all energy, both material and spiritual. Lord Krishna explains that everything emanates from Him. Now those are very huge claims. How many of you would say such a thing? Anyone here would go around? Hey folks, guess what? I'm the source of all energy. Everything emanates from me. Would any of you say like that? Of course not. So why is it that Krishna is saying like that? Someone would immediately take notice. That is a very huge claim. Everything emanates from you, Krishna. Well, let's hear you present your case. That's what our intelligence is meant for. The human intelligence is meant for much more than economics, politics, entertainment. So much of our intelligence these days is tied up with entertainment. You can't even have information anymore. You have to have infotainment. The news has to be entertaining. Everything has to be entertaining these days. The real purpose of intelligence is to find out what is the greatest source of spiritual knowledge. When you get the greatest spiritual knowledge and apply it in your life, then you can make the right decisions. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents the greatest spiritual knowledge, beginning with how you're not the body, your spirit soul, then understanding how the spirit soul is illusion in this material world, then explaining the relationship between the spirit soul and the supreme soul. These are the most vital subject matters. You see, there are 3 things that we should be concerned with. There's the living entity, there's the material world, and there's the supreme. Real knowledge gives you an in and out understanding, backwards and forwards, up and down, of these 3 things and how they're related. You, the living entity, the material world, and the supreme. So if we actually say we have knowledge, it doesn't mean to show, oh, I went to the university, I went to the polytech, I had my overseas experience. No, that doesn't show that you have real knowledge. Real knowledge means you understand these 3 things. What the situation of living entities are. What the material world is. What is the supreme source of everything. Now, where do you get that kind of knowledge? I can give you my opinion.
I think, yes, the world is like this.
You can give your opinion.
I think, yes.
We can ask the little kid who's running in and out, what do you think?
I think. I think Nintendo is the supreme.
Everyone can have their opinion. We have Matt and Bridget here that are Levin.
Levin is the ultimate.
There's nothing beyond Levin. I get Amos Baha here from Carton.
Carton is the ultimate.
Everyone can have their opinion about anything. Who do we decide has the best opinion? That is another advantage of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Sanskrit, meaning song of the most opulent one. Why is Krishna presented in Bhagavad Gita as the supreme? Because Krishna is the most opulent one. Krishna is the source of unlimited opulence. That makes Krishna so attractive. You see a little bit of opulence in this world, a little bit of wealth, a little bit of strength, a little bit of beauty, and you go into a tizzy. Right? Let's say you were invited to what? Go for a ride, or go to a private gathering with, what's the name of the guy who owns the warehouse? Huh? Yeah. Suppose Stephen Tisdale invited you, come to a private gathering at my house with a few friends. Come for a ride on my yacht. How would you feel? You'd tell all your friends. I'll be spending Saturday afternoon with Stephen Tisdale. You'd have great hopes. Maybe I'll get a high job in the warehouse system. Something, yeah. Right? You'd definitely tell all your friends to impress them. Yeah, I'll tell you how it is with Steve. I might recommend you for a job, Jim. You're lucky to be my friends because I'm going to. Saturday evening, I'll be with you. Is that the way it works? Or if you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who's a famous musician, right? Just like we have one of our staff, former staff members here. She's at our Los Angeles Center, where they have a gift shop of Indian clothes, which is very popular amongst the Hollywood stars. So they're always coming in to buy Indian fashions. So she gets to meet all the top movie stars and musicians. And so when she writes back to her relatives in Wellington and Tasmania, guess who I talked to yesterday? You know, the relatives probably just swoon. You know, the latest movie stars, you know, this and that, you know. Yeah, the relatives can't believe our daughter, our cousin, she. And they tell everyone in Tasmania and Wellington, they know, guess who our daughter met yesterday. That's the natural human tendency. You want to be around fame. Now, how do the puny celebrities of this planet compared to Krishna? Krishna is known as Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the source of all opulence. Krishna has unlimited fame, unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited knowledge, and at the same time, Krishna is unlimitedly renounced, detached from everything. Because of Krishna's qualifications, we accept what Krishna says. Not because of some sentimental reason. No. The one who is the most opulent person is the most authoritative. We all are attracted to someone who has a little knowledge, wealth, strength. Now, if there is one person that has unlimited amounts of these opulences, just think how attractive that person would be. That person has the right to speak about everything. And that's what Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna has the most power. He has the ability to understand everything. Especially since everything is his energy. To be the wealthiest person means to possess everything. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains how your material bodies are his material energy. Your spiritual self, that is Krishna's spiritual energy. In other words, you can't get away from Krishna because everything is his energy. Krishna is the self of yourself. You can't find anything that's not related to Krishna. This is the point that Krishna establishes in Bhagavad Gita. Now you might say, all right, it could be true, but maybe it's not. Anyone can say those things. Isn't that so? You can say like that. It's like our friend Maya here. You can stand up and say, I am the cause of all causes. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this worship me perfectly. Right? You can say that. Yeah. So similarly, you're thinking, alright, so what if Krishna says that? She can say it, he can say it. Generally, we don't expect her to say that or him to say that, but they could. So immediately, you relativize the situation. Yeah, yeah, okay, Krishna, right, right, right. Yeah, right. What would you, let's say, if Matt here said he's the cause of all causes, the source of everything, what would be your reaction?
Sit down.
What would you say, Bridget? One day he came home from work and said, guess what, Bridget? I have something I've been meaning to tell you for years. I am the cause of all causes. Everything emanates from me.
I'll just laugh.
You smell his breath or something, huh? Now, when Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, what's our reaction? It's probably mythology. It's probably fanatical religious talk. Right? Isn't that so? No one can be more powerful than me. Everyone's in ignorance. Why should Krishna think he's any better? In fact, Krishna came to this world. I'm in this world, so we're equal. All those thoughts run through our mind. Or, Krishna's speaking in Bhagavad Gita, but he's not really a person. Ultimately, everything is impersonal. So Krishna is just some kind of metaphor. Let's see, all these speculations. Let's say Nat, he's trying to explain himself. I'm like this, I'm like that. And everyone who's listening said, anyway, you're just a metaphor. You're just a temporary manifestation of a person, but beyond you there's the great white light. How would you feel? Of course, if Matt went on to say that he is the cause of all causes, the source of everything, people would be taken aback a bit. Wait a minute, we know you, the cause of all causes from within. The source of everything? Now, what is different about Krishna's presentation? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents the means for you to verify what he says. Ah, that's very interesting. Not only does Krishna present, I am the Supreme Personality Godhead, Lord Krishna says, everything emanates from me, but then he says, here's the method by which you can verify it. Isn't that fair enough? So we all know, Matt can't do that. He can't say, I'm the cause of all causes, and then present to us a method by which we can verify it. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does exactly that. So what more can the living entities want? Well, it seems they want more. In other words, they feel they have better things to do than become involved in these, you know, metaphysical issues, which are endlessly debatable. Why become involved in those things when there's nice, gross, sensate things to get involved with here and now? And this way, when human beings think like this, they're giving up the value of the human form of life. The human form of life is not justifiable simply by the gross engagement of our senses. That can be done in any species of life. But the human form of life is justifiable by its making a solution to the spiritual questions. But you know, as well as I do, many people think, so what if human beings are just a royal edition of the animals? So what? Why should we be ashamed of that? We have animal needs. We should satisfy them. Leave it at that. Well, this is a great tragedy. A human being justifies his or her humanity by making inquiry into what is the absolute truth. What is perfect knowledge? Perfect knowledge has to come from a perfect source. Now you might say, okay, let us say that Krishna is speaking perfect knowledge, but he's still doing it to us who are in the material world, and his words will be distorted or we'll hear imperfectly. But try to understand that since everything emanates from Krishna, even the material world, Krishna can arrange that you receive perfect knowledge even in an imperfect place. Because all the energy is coming from Krishna. Both the illusion and the spiritual reality. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find things that are in other scriptures, but you'll find a lot that isn't. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is explaining himself. I exist. I am the Supreme Opulent One. You are my parts. You are spiritual, but you're identifying with your material body, and therefore you take birth after birth in the material world. Forgetting your spiritual identity. Forgetting your spiritual relationship with me, Krishna explains. This is the knowledge we need to hear. But notice what wells up inside you. No. You don't understand. I've got a lot of practical problems to tend to. I've got bills to pay. I've got emotional difficulties to straighten out. I've got people to try to relate to. No, you know. You feel that welling up inside you? I got a business that needs my attention. And then immediately, we jump to far conclusions. Are you trying to say that everyone should drop everything material and just focus on Krishna? You just go to a far extreme, you know? Why is it that we get this sense of stage fright, paranoia? Oh, this is getting too spiritual. Oh, this is a bit too much. This is going over the top. It's all right to delve in these subject matters, but just keep it at a safe distance. Why do we have that fear? As if we're so securely established in this material world, this temporary material world. Where do we get that false sense of security from? Which is violated so often. And if we manage to make it through a normal lifespan, whatever, 70 or so years, still, that's just the blink of an eye. There's no security on the material platform of life. We work so hard for security, physical security, emotional security, financial security. Even if you think you get it, it'll just last like a comet in the sky, just a flash. Spiritual security, however, that is your eternal asset. And that's the kind of security that Krishna wants to give in Bhagavad Gita. Why Bhagavad Gita? Because it's the best knowledge. What is evidence that something is the best knowledge? It explains the most and gives you the clearest procedure for verifying what it presents. Just like, suppose Bruce asked me, how do I get to the Freiburg pool? And so I responded, in Wellington, there are many pools. No. How do I get to the Freiburg pool? There are many paths to the Freiburg pool. Look, will you please just tell me how to get to the Freiburg pool? The pool is in me, it's in you, it is everywhere. Please tell me how I get to the Freiburg pool. The Freiburg pool is what you think it is. You would just say, what? You would just tell me, why don't you just say you don't know? And that's exactly what you should say when persons present to you vague spiritual knowledge. Tell them, just say you don't know. What he expects to hear from me is, you want to go to the Freiburg pool, you drive this way, that way, watch out for the one-way street here, there's a long traffic light there, you get to the pool, there's where you park, then he'll be happy. And he'll say, yes, you have given me knowledge. Once he gets to the pool, he'll be happiness. I got there the quickest way. I'm here. So that's what Krishna is doing in Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing ambiguous in Bhagavad Gita. Yet some people become afraid. Ooh, this is just too clear. It can't be spiritual. It's too clear. Spiritually is undefined and hazy. But Bhagavad Gita is too precise. Who is this Krishna to speak like he knows everything? I don't know everything, so how can Krishna know everything? I don't know any person like that. So even when we have the greatest gift in our hand, we don't take it seriously. No, No one can be like that. No one can really know everything. It's just too clear. It's just too definitive. It's too much. Let's say Bruce asked me how to get to the fiber pool, and I gave him specific instructions, then he got angry. And he would tell me, you know, the problem with what you told me is that it's just too exact. I gave him a list, you know. Turn here, go there, stick on the, you know, right side of the road as you're coming to this, you know, corner. You'd all appreciate those kind of driving instructions, right? If you're going there during the peak time of the day, you know, take this shortcut. You'd all appreciate that. But why is it when we hear from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita such precision, we get a little afraid? That's just too exact. There's no haziness there. This way you can see how we waste our own time. And then we end up not knowing much more than the little kids. We just have more expensive toys. And we look for things to fill our time. Hobbies and relationships. No one knows where they're going or why they're here, but let's have a relationship. It's like a possession, you know. It's like you can tell people, I got a new car, you know, I've got a new relationship. But do you know what you're doing in life? No, but I've got a relationship. It's like that, isn't it? Do you know why you're here? No. Do you know where you came from? What was your situation in your previous life? What will be your situation in your next life? Oh, that's just all too much. I mean, really. I mean, I'm just taking it day by day. That's the real way to live. Just take it day by day. Everyone nods their head. Yeah. Taking it day by day. Taking it day by day is just a different way of saying, I'm living in ignorance. I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue. But you don't say that. You just take it day by day, you know. How many of you will say to your family and friends, you know, I don't have a clue what's going on in my life. You'll never say that. Instead, you say, I'm going to take you day by day, you know, just seeing how it goes. And then your family and friends nod their heads. Of course, yes, very good. Why don't you try it sometimes? Make an experiment. When you're talking to your family and friends, just say, hey, you know what? I don't have a clue what I'm doing in my life. Watch their reaction. Firstly, don't say that. Are you scared? You don't mean that. You don't mean that. Or else they'll just look at you very sternly. What about your career? You sound like someone who doesn't have a fixed career. Maybe you should consider more courses at the Polytech. Get in debt more. In order to benefit our life, we have to admit, we don't know. I don't know who I am. Am I just flashing blood and nails and hair? What was I doing before birth? What will I do after death? What is the source of all this energy all around? Energy that includes me also. What's the source? What is my duty in relation to that source? I don't know. Anyway, the weekend has come. Welcome to the party city, so. This is the human situation today. Why is it like that? Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that he has an illusory energy which causes forgetfulness. We are pure spirit soul as part of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. But we've forgotten our spiritual identity due to contact with the illusory energy. Why is there the illusory energy? Because Krishna gives a choice. It's not that Krishna forces you into a relationship with him. No. What kind of love is that? You don't want a forced relationship. You want love that springs forth from the heart voluntarily. Krishna, the Supreme Person, certainly doesn't want a forced relationship. So he has to give you a choice. What is that choice? He makes the illusory energy or the spiritual energy for your choice. You can choose either one. Both are coming from Krishna. The illusory energy and the spiritual energy. If you don't want to relate to Krishna in reality and you want to forget Krishna, he gives you the illusory energy. That's why we have forgetfulness. That's why we have this mirage of material existence. It's the choice wrongly made. So therefore I'd like to recommend that you all take the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita very seriously. Apply in your life, you'll get the result. No blind faith. No blind faith at all. It takes a little bit of faith just to start the verification. It's like you had a little bit of faith that there might be something worthwhile going on here today. Everything in life requires a little bit of faith that it might be of some good to you. But that's just the beginning. If you apply the Krishna conscious process that Lord Krishna presents in Bhagavad Gita, you'll get the verification. So one final point. You're probably thinking, okay, if it's like that, if you can, by following the process in Bhagavad Gita, verify that Krishna is the source of everything, why isn't everyone doing it? Quite easy why everyone isn't doing it. They're too much absorbed in illusion. They don't want to give up the illusion. You ever try to wake somebody up who doesn't want to get up? Very difficult. Just leave me alone, I want to sleep. Don't want to get up now. But you have things to do, you have an appointment. It's an important day. I'm tired, I don't want to get up, I just want to sleep. Have you ever tried to wake someone up who is, you know, having a nice dream? And when you look, and then you try to wake them, they got so angry at you, you broke my dream! I was a queen of England, and I was this, I was that, I was Britney Spears or whatever, and you woke me up. People don't want to wake up. Well, I've got something better for you. You just wake up and get out of bed. No, I was comfortable. I was resting. I was dreaming so nicely. So that's what the problem is. In Bhagavad Gita you have the supreme knowledge, but people would rather sleep. And it's very difficult to wake up someone who's sleeping. No, I've got important things to do in the dream world. I've got important things to do in the matrix of illusion. Go with you. I've got good food, good sex, entertainment. Friends, family, don't wake me! That's the problem. Well, that's why you see very few persons interested in reality. But for those few persons, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. And everything is given to you. No dogma, no blind faith. Simply, what is the Supreme Reality? Spoken by the Supreme Reality Himself, Krishna. And here is the technique. Krishna gives it to you in Bhagavad Gita for experiencing the spiritual reality. art. If you have any questions about anything. Bruce, you have a question? Maya, do you have a question? What do you think? Could it be possible? Possible. But what? There could be some nice things in the dream world. Have you ever had someone try to wake you up when you're sleep, trying to sleep? You just don't want to get up, right? Just leave me alone. I want to sleep. I'm feeling good sleeping, forgetting everything. No, but there are important activities to do. You just wake up and get out of bed. No. Staying right here. Hold on to me. Let me go back to sleep. I got warm blankets over me. So up a pillow, everything is fine. Okay? Very difficult to wake up persons who don't care about reality. So what if I don't know who I am or who you are or what the world is? So let me sleep. That's why persons who are interested in waking up and taking this best knowledge that Lord Krishna gives, they need contact with others, because it's very difficult on your own to get out of the darkness of ignorance. Very difficult, in case you haven't noticed. Just like, watch, you go back, when you leave here tonight, you go back to your friends, and you may say, yeah, I heard a very interesting talk today, you know. It really got me thinking. And probably what your friends say, watch it now. Don't get too far out there. Mm-hmm. Don't take life too seriously. You have a beer. Let's turn on the TV. There's something that, hey, there's a real big club I just found. Come on, let's go. You know, you're just getting too deep for your own good. Come on with us, let the good times roll. Or your partner will tell you, what are you worrying about all that for? What about me? Talk about me, think about me. What about us? I mean, I know, but I'm just trying to figure out, you know, who I am. I heard some interesting things tonight about delusion and reality and supreme knowledge. And oh, come on now. I mean, they've got good food there, but are you really going to take all this stuff seriously? And then they usually come out with the ultimate dismissal. What if everyone in the world did like that? Don't worry, not everyone in the world is going to wake up. You don't have to have that fear. There'll always be a sufficient number of persons in illusion to push on the illusory activities. So. Or else they say, well, look, you know, that spiritual stuff is fine, but, you know, what are you going to do when it comes time to eating and paying the rent? When we live in this material world, you know, you've got to be practical. As if listening to what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita means you can't eat or pay your rent. What about love? If you listen to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where will the love be? As if we're experts in love. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. We don't know who the other person is, but let there be love. Yes, there is a hint of love in this world, because this world is a shadow based on the ultimate reality. But it's just a hint. That's why we just can't be satisfied for long with the so-called love of this world. It's just a hint. That's all. You have to find the full reality of love. But the full reality of love, that is available only to someone who understands what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. Remember the three things: the living entities, the material world, and the supreme. One who is fully aware of the reality of those three things can love. Otherwise, suppose, where's that little boy? Is he here? Huh? He's gone. Suppose that little boy came up to you and said, "I love you." What would you say? What would you say, Maya, if that little boy came up to you? "Oh, I love you." What would you say? He said, "Oh, that's nice, cute." But, you know, you take it seriously, right? This little boy, what does he know? I suppose a big boy came up to you. Well, what does he know? What can he do? He's just a bigger baby. You see, whether he's a little boy or a big boy, they don't know anything. What the living entities are, what is this world, who is the supreme, they don't know anything.
I think this could be love.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling the same way too. This is the dream world. So there is a hint of love in this world. We don't say there's no love. There is a hint, because this is the shadow world. The shadow is based on the reality. But if you're really interested in love, find the reality. That is what Krishna is offering in Bhagavad Gita. All right, we're going to do a little bit of chanting, mantra meditation, and dancing. Thank you very much. Hopefully you said something that will benefit you in some way.